Blog Talk Radio.
Giants game, that was another odd one too.
It was a weird week, it seemed like, for some teams. It was a weird game, you know, and the 49ers were just eliminated from playoff contention, so the Lions won, so now the 49ers can't get into the playoffs.
Now
begins the talk of, is Jim Harbaugh going to keep his job? Which we'll see, but I don't know. It looks like he might be out the door. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely.
Now, of course, what I'm hoping is Mark Trestman can get fired and then Harbaugh can come to Chicago, come back home, and lead us to a championship. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Those are some wishes, for sure. I don't know if they'll let Trestman go yet.
I don't think they'll give him at least one more year. I know the defensive coordinator is gone pretty much, but I think they'll probably give him one more year.
How about the offensive coordinator blabbing all about Cutler?
I can't even check that.
Yeah. I mean, not that it wasn't like it was news to anybody anyway, but.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people are shocked that that got out into the public, but I mean, it's nothing that nobody wasn't thinking. So,
exactly.
I mean, even just the most casual fan can see that there's some kind of dysfunction going on. So,
why we're surprised though. I mean, that's what's happening here in Washington and has been happening for the past two seasons. So, I think at this point, I'm actually not surprised when I start to hear. Stuff leaking out of the front office, and because little by little people are keeping stuff in house now, less and less.
Yeah, they are. And with social media the way it is, it's hard to keep secrets.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so much media out there. I mean, you have to pretty much just keep your mouth closed. Soundproof all the rooms, and that's the only way to really keep everything in-house for sure.
Exactly.
Well, let me just say, from a PR perspective, it's going to make it even tougher now because, you know, each team, of course, has their own PR and communications department. So, you know, this is going to create a whole new hiccup in the PR field. So I'm definitely, of course, biased enough that I'm going to be sitting back and watching how this plays out, you know, in our field.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yes, I mean, it's everything's going to be all over the place, so. So I think it'll be a pretty exciting off season in that respect, just to, you know, see what's going to happen with all these coaches and firings, especially with Black Monday, as they say, right after the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
That
we'll
is going to be
that's
a carousel. I don't know if I'm going to need some Pepto-Bismol because it's going to be so crazy and going around and around and around to keep me from getting seasick, or do I need popcorn to watch the show?
Well, I say have both on hand.
All that popcorn may give you indigestion, so.
I know, right?
All right, well, just a reminder to everybody, the No Joke Football Huddles are sponsored by Zazzle.com. You can go to the No Joke Football Shop today, losing my voice here, at www.zazzle.com/gridironbeauties for daily deals until Christmas. Get your favorite leggings, tees, hoodies, or you can customize all your items, plus worldwide shipping. So, I don't think I'll be getting any of that. Maybe I'll get some for my wife, but I won't be getting any. And also to remind everyone about college football playoffs. So, invite everyone you know to follow at Gridiron Girl for tailgating ideas and recipes, plus updates from their bloggers on the playoff matchups. Later, Erica and Kishi will have their favorite games from this week, from week 15. And don't forget to vote daily for Carly Harmon for her chance to go to the Super Bowl. Visit www.togetherwemakefootball.com/vote. Voting ends January 4th. It's very easy, so let's get her to that game. It'll be a game. But let's do the women's rundown like we always do. As the championship finals happened, Down Under in both Gridiron Victoria and Gridiron New South Wales. Stay up to date on women's game matchups on our timeline at Gridiron Beauty on Twitter and Facebook for the latest updates. So let's go down under to Australia in Gridiron Victoria at Gridiron Vic on Twitter. Follow hashtag GVWomen's for Tweetcast finals updates. The champs women's or the Champs Western Foxes defeated Northern Lady Raiders 42-34 in a neck-and-neck matchup. A huge shout-out to running back Ivanov, who was able to record 5 touchdowns but still fell short of the victory. I know that one had to hurt, but 5 touchdowns, that needs a shout-out right there. The Raiders should be very proud of their finals effort and a solid showing, as well as an ending. The Foxes are back-to-back champions with undefeated seasons in 2013 and 2014. So huge congrats to them again, to the Western Foxes of Gridiron Victoria on their TGI Fridays Vic Bowl win. Erica, what you got?
For Mexico?
For Gridiron New South Wales?
The Opal Bowl
yeah,
2 matchup was The Opal 2 bowl matchup was live streamed courtesy of Bar TV Sports and saw the at Newcastle Cobras, who were the favorite coming into the final, versus the UTS Gridiron Lady Gators. The UTS Gridiron came in with a strong offensive performance and kept the Cobras in the short field. The Gators win their first championship 42-26. So congratulations to them and Coach Tiffany Bosco. Visit at GridironNSW on Twitter or visit their website, gridironnsw.org.au, for finals, updates, and awards. You can follow the Australia Women's Offseason Updates and keep up to date on the latest Gridiron Victoria, Queensland, ACT, and New South Wales information by following at Women's Gridiron on Twitter and their website, wglaus.com, and that's WGLAUS.com for cool features and past stories. So we invite you to visit all these sites. We mentioned to you guys, these women are amazing at what they do, and it's super exciting.
Yes, ma'am. And moving on to Mexico, Kishi, what you got for us?
Well, now in Mexico, we want everyone to follow at FXF_Mexico on Twitter and FXF Female Extreme Football on Facebook. And I have the final scores for the 2014 Female Extreme Football Division, and the finals are also on our Facebook page. Congrats to the Vaqueras, the Mirmidones, and the Panteras Negras on their victories. And we want to remind everyone that the tryouts for 2015 are now on. So if you are interested in trying out for one of the various football teams, then you can follow them on Twitter to get the updates for when and where the tryouts will occur. And you can start by following them at WFA Football, at IWFL, at WSFL Football, at WWCFL. Also, you can follow them at MWFL Football, and lastly at CCWFL. I know that those are multiple different page, different Twitter handles, because they are also for different leagues. So depending upon what area you live, then that would impact probably where you're going to play, but at least you can follow the information on the multiple Twitter pages and handles, and then that way you can figure out where you want to go. And I hope that we have a really robust turnout this year. And that's the women's news. So follow us for the latest on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty or Facebook.com/Gridiron Beauty. And back to you, Eric.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kishi. We also have our next guest on the show here. And Erica will be taking over the interview for us. Ahmad, you there?
Yeah. Hey, Eric. How you doing?
All right. Good to have you. Erica, why don't you help us
thank
out with this with this interview, talking to Ahmad.
All right.
Hey,
Ahmad, how are you today?
Finding yourself for a Sunday.
What's that? I'm sorry?
Finding yourself for a Sunday.
Oh, I'm good. It's laid back. I like my Sundays laid back and full of football, which it has been, so pretty good.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and like Eric said earlier, I just want to say I absolutely love the team name. That has got to be probably the best name I've heard for a women's football team. So
exactly. It was a lot of planning and a lot of research on my part. I wanted something original and something that somebody else wasn't using. So I just kind of went back and looked to see who was doing what, who was named what teams were default using what name, and it just came up Ventura, which is in, you know, just north of Los Angeles, and Ventura Black Widows, and it just,
that
to me, it just stuck.
when you think about what a Black Widow does, obviously, it is perfect for a sports team, you know.
Yes.
Killing your victim with that poison, so that's
exactly.
Awesome. So can you tell us what the Black Widows have been up to this offseason and any changes that have been happening for you guys?
Sure. Well, we just had a 6-on-6 tournament that we hosted in Ventura over the Thanksgiving weekend. And we played 2 games in 2 days, 6-on-6. And unfortunately, we fell short on both games. But most of the girls, they got experience as far as playing, which we're going to build upon for 2015. We do have a game scheduled Saturday, February 28th, in New Mexico versus the New Mexico Venom. So that's already penciled in as far as the actual game. We're working on a scrimmage game for, I think, February 7th or the 14th. Right now the team is TBA, but we're working on a scrimmage prior to the New Mexico game for 2015 as of right now.
Oh, that sounds great. Hope you guys all wrote those details down, because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of prep work, a lot of leg work, but that's what we're doing at the beginning of 2015. So we will be hosting tryout Saturday of January 3rd for 2015.
Okay.
I don't expect the new players to go to New Mexico or even the scrimmage. That's kind of really soon for them to get acclimated, get conditioned, get gear and things like that. So, but at least they can come and attend the games and see what it's all about behind the scenes and how to prepare for games and watching film and all this other good stuff that goes on with football.
For sure, and that's obviously just that's what helps you prepare to go on the field and do your thing.
Exactly. We go through the prep work. I mean, it's like a full theater production. We have to put in the time necessary if we want to be successful. We have to put in the necessary time. So with the amount of hours that we put in, you want to be successful. I mean, why you want to put in all the time and sacrifice and come in second?
Exactly, yeah. Definitely, I hear you. So I'm curious. I've talked to other, coaches and kind of people that own these women's football teams, and they've talked about the support in their area, kind of where the base of the team is. And some of them have talked about how supportive the community is and how they really chip in. Do you find that in your area with your team, that the community kind of rallies around you guys?
Yes, but it was very hard starting off, to be honest with you, because just like with any, I guess, amateur or semi-pro, however you want to call it, you know, there's no track history of the actual team or leagues in that regard. So it's like, well, we don't know until you actually get out there and do it. So we got out there, we played our games. This is our 7th year competing within women's football for the Ventura Black Widows. So when we do approach a sponsor, we do have game pictures, we do have game footage. I mean, we have things to present to an actual potential sponsor, not to the community, that, hey, we didn't just start up yesterday. It's not just a thought. We're fully running and going. So when you're up and going, the community can see a track record that, okay, they're not just here for one day or one month or whatever the case may be. They're here for the long haul of it.
Yeah, that's great. And do you guys do a lot of community outreach? Do you guys... Do you guys have the time for stuff like that?
Yeah, we get into the community not just because we want to just get our name out there. We want to feel good while serving the community that served us as well. We did a Ventura County rescue mission where they served dinners, and we served 184 dinners one night. That was October 26th. We did that event. We went to another event, which is hosted by the Tri-County Mustang Car Clubs to benefit the Guide Dogs of America. We was up there with them for a little while, and we have a few other things that we're working on for 2015. Well, once we get it official, we will announce it on our Twitter page and Facebook page and Instagram and things like that to keep the community involved with us.
That's so awesome. I really commend you. I mean, I know how busy you must be, running and coaching the football team, and that you guys still find time to give back. That's so amazing. I just love to hear that. So I really commend you on that.
Thank you, Eric. I mean, believe me, when I say it's a challenge, it is a challenge time spent.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah, I bet. Gosh, I can't even imagine what your day planner must look like.
I threw it out the window 7 years ago.
Oh, that's funny. So I'm curious, how have the recruiting efforts been for the team in your area? Have you guys seen a good turnout in the years past?
Well, sometimes some years are better than others. Last year was really tough for women's football in general, at least in the States. A lot of teams were coming and folding because they didn't have the numbers. Unfortunately, we was in that boat earlier in the year where we usually play 8-on-8. So this year we tried to go 11. We had 25 players commit, and when it was time to actually go to the game, only 13 committed to go to the game. So in a safety aspect, we didn't do it, but we had an opportunity later this year, which was 6-on-6 tournament Thanksgiving weekend. So we're going to just stay at 8 still right now. And right now, if we suited up and played next Saturday, we would have the right amount of numbers to actually play and suit up and be safe.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so it's not just about suiting up and playing. You want to have the numbers for the players to be safe. It's not just, okay, well, we have plenty of 11, we have 12 players to play 11 on 11. That's not going to get it done. Mm-hmm. So we think of safety first. Do we have the right amount of numbers to play? Can we do it?
Yeah.
So right now, I think we have 17.
Oh, 17.
I think we have 17 as of right now, 17 players that can actually suit up and play as of right now.
That's
so great. As far as 8 on 8, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you could trade out your whole squad then.
And still have one extra. So that's kind of what we're looking at right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what we're looking at, Erica. Now, it's going to be a good year for 2015 for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I'm curious. I know. Oh, go ahead, Keishi.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Hi, Ahmad. This is Keishi.
Hi, Keishi.
I'm great. Thank you. I'm so excited to have you on the show. I do have a couple of really quick questions.
Sure.
And what I was thinking was, and what I wanted to know is you were talking about suiting up and having the players. And I know when I was doing the breakdown about the different leagues, did you all switch leagues or are you still in the same league where you started? And
gotcha.
How do you keep that continuity going?
Gotcha. Okay, well, as far as the league, 2014, the end of 2013, we decided to join the IWFL, which I think the IWFL has been in existence since 2000. I could be wrong, but somewhere around there. We didn't have any teams this year, early in the year, to play 8-on-8. So as a necessity, we had to go to 11 as a necessity. So we joined IWFL, which has a long-standing – they're the longest tenured league in the United States for women's right now as far as women's football. So we joined the league hoping to run 11. We had 25 players committed, and I mean committed. I have a one-on-one interview with players, letting them know what women's football is, what it isn't, the risk of injuries involved, the risk forfeitures, cancellation of games, just anything I can think of to help to make the decision is, do you want to be involved with women's football knowing what you know? Because, believe it or not, even though it is women's football, there's still a risk of injuries. So I tell the players this, knowing that if you get injured, would your job still be there for you on Monday? Because who want to go out there and get hurt and then be like, oh, well, the job just said, well, we can't have you on the payroll anymore because of your injury.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So it's a thing that players really have to think about. So it's not just going on the weekend being a weekend warrior. It's like you drive your car. There's a risk of an accident. And if you have an accident, do you have insurance to take care of your vehicle or the other person's vehicle or whatever the case may be? So the players that come through our camp, they get a one-on-one interview to let them know exactly. So once we did that, I did that, 25 committed. 6 weeks before the game in Tucson, 13 said that they would go. So with that, we just couldn't make that commitment with playing 11 with 13 players.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Yes.
I just have another question because this is really and truly is so fascinating. And, of course, I am still new to women's football, so informative. In terms of safety, and you've got the auditions and you got your tryouts coming out, what type of physical condition and what types of conditioning should these women have prior to trying out?
Well, they should be in somewhat cardio because at trials is pretty much ran for players to quit or not come back, to be honest with you. We'd rather have them quit during trials than quit during the games, to be honest with you. So it's a lot of running. Strength involved, you can pretty much gain strength, but if you don't have the cardio and endurance, you're pretty much just going to be a wasted cause, to be honest with you. But on Ventura, we don't just look for athletes. We look for all women who want to play. Our players range from 340 pounds down to like 104, to be honest with you. But they all had a desire to learn and play. So they're not looking out of college like, D1 colleges. Already conditioned. These are women who are like professional, who already have careers, who have families, single mothers, and want to learn football and also to play football. Mm-hmm. So these are the women that we actually take and mold, and we try to get the best out of them. Sometimes it's a challenge to get the most out of them at that particular point in time. Because what we do is it's just a challenge. It definitely is a challenge.
Yeah, sometimes heart is what you want anyway, the passion to learn the game and play the game, and 'cause you can always get conditioned later. It's the heart that you can't teach.
Exactly, exactly. And it's a lot of, just like for someone to be proficient in football, at least women's football, let's say women's football, you need about 208 hours of instruction to play 30 hours of football. So, you know, you want that kind of time put in, spent, just to learn it. I mean, just to kind of know what's going on. I mean, we take women in about 5 months and do the best that we can do with time in and turn them into actual competent football players.
Yeah. So I'm curious.
Sure.
So, Ahmad, you're the president and the head coach, right?
Yes, and equipment manager and everything else, yes.
So I'm curious because obviously we see, you know, an NFL team, obviously they have tons of money at their disposal so they can hire all this personnel. But, you know, sometimes there's a reason why they have kind of somebody handling the sports side and somebody handling the business side. Do
yeah.
you find it hard to kind of draw that line so that obviously sometimes from a business standpoint you have to make decisions that aren't always popular from a
yeah.
player standpoint? Do you find it hard to draw that line being the head coach and the president and all the jobs in between?
Yes, it's difficult. Like I say, it's a challenge. Just from some things that we have to do, it's not very popular with the players, but it needs to be done. Just decisions. I mean, just decisions. Just like with our finances. It's like, okay, some things we would like to have, but when it comes down, do we actually need this item to actually play women's football or football in general? I mean, like I tell people, I mean, certain things are nice. I mean, a website is nice to have, but do you need it when it comes down to it to play women's football or anything else? Not really. Do you need footballs to play football? Yeah, you do. You need uniforms, refs. You need your stadium insurance. Things that you really need, that's the priority what we focus on right here. And everything else is just extra. You know, there's nothing wrong with having extras, but we focus on the priorities first. And then what we have left, hey, okay, now we can do other things and keep other things going. So that's just where our priority and focus is. And once I explain it to the girls, they pretty much understand and they're pretty much with it. But some of the new players may not get that at first.
Mm-hmm.
But once they kind of stick around, they kind of see what goes on and can pretty much appreciate it. And say, okay, well, for my time spent, we did play and we did suit up in women's football. We did get uniforms and other things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how we look at it.
Yeah. And so moving into that, like you were talking about the kind of the financial side, how have your guys' fundraising efforts been for next spring?
It's kind of hit and miss sometimes. Sometimes it goes well. Sometimes it doesn't go as well as planned, but we just keep going. You know? I mean, sometimes things don't work out the way we want them to, but that's not an excuse to not do it at all, to give up. So just like playing a game, you know, one play might not be successful, so you don't give up for the whole game. You get right back and go back at it again.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's kind of how we've been doing it in Ventura.
Good. That sounds like a good strategy. Seems like it's been working for you guys. You say you've been around 7 years now, a team has?
Yes. Yes.
That's great. You know, a lot of teams, I know just, you know, a little over a year I've been doing this with Oscar now. It's sad when you hear about some of these teams folding, you know, they're only around for a couple of years. So that's great that you guys are able to
right.
stay that long.
Well, you know, what's sad about it is, see, we're able to flex our game. I mean by flex is, even though we play eights, we can also go down to sixes and whatever else if we need to. So basically what I do, I just talk to the players, say, hey, what are you guys going to do? Do you guys want to play eights, sixes, or whatever? Sometimes we get an invitation to play flag football. I just let the girls know, hey, what are you guys going to do? I have an invitation for this. You know, anytime I get an invitation from another team, I let the players know and what they decide to what they want to do. Because at the end of the day, we all have to prepare for whatever we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Right.
So,
you like the 6-on-6 tournament?
Mm-hmm. Now,
well, it's like the 6-on-6 tournament, yes.
And that's coming up, right? You said you guys have the 6-on-6 coming up soon?
No, that's already passed. Oh, Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, it already passed. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No problem.
So is there a new squad in the area, Ventura Vengeance? What kind of details do you know about that?
Very little.
Very little?
Yes.
Okay. Is that, will that be an issue for you? I mean, is that something that
actually
might interfere with your squad?
Actually, it's never an issue, to be honest with you. I think it's good for women's football to expand and have different choices. I would think it's good. As far as anything else, I really couldn't tell you because I'm really not sure. I know that they're going to run 11-on-11, traditional football, which is great. It's great for the area. It's great for the sport. I just don't know a lot about it because just the fact of it is I'm focused on what the Ventura Black Widows are doing. And it takes a lot of time and focus just to keep my thing going and not to try to keep, you know, focus on what someone else is doing. I mean, I think it's great. I'll be honest with you, but. Yeah, I run Ventura Black Widows. It's like I do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It seems like it. I go year round with this.
I think the blinder strategy probably is the right strategy to have, though. Just stay focused on your game and what you're doing, and
right,
you know, you'll make a success out of it. I think with that strategy,
right,
for sure.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just a lot of time and energy and focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm loving
so
it.
So, Eric, do you? What was that, Kishi?
I was saying I am absolutely loving their name. I mean, the
Thank
Black
you.
Widows, you know, the Vengeance, and I can't remember what was the other name that you guys said for the team, I think, in New Mexico that was starting up?
New Mexico Venom, yes.
Yes, Venom. Okay, and maybe because I'm a Spider-Man, you know, fanatic. But, I mean, I am, like, and I truly am a big comic freak. So I am absolutely loving these names. And it's so funny to me because, and fellas, don't take this the wrong way. However, I think the ladies' names are a lot harder than a lot of names for our professional football teams. I mean, I don't think, not to put this out there, but the New Orleans Pelicans. And I know it's not a football team. I'm just throwing it out there.
I got
I'm loving these names, and I'm loving what these ladies are bringing in terms of passion and heart.
Exactly. Yeah, it's great. Like I said, it's great for the sport. It's great for the sport to keep growing and thriving in any means possible. So it's great. It really is.
Well, what do you guys need to keep growing? Since you threw that out there, that's a perfect segue. You know, I hear you said you've been going for 8 years. What is it that the sport needs? Not just your team, but what does the sport need to keep growing to make this
more,
bigger and better, especially
more
for sponsors?
Right. That's true, too, but we need more involvement. The sponsor comes once the fans are out. You know, it's going to be hard to say, well, why would I sponsor something with only a few fans in the stands? We need more community involvement by fans, you know, better, bigger fan base, more involvement with the fans, you know, get excited. You know, we post something on Facebook, hey, just like it. I'm just get with it, you know, just help us out, you know. If I post something and 3 people like it, I have 2,800 people on my Facebook. If I have 2,800 people and 3 like it, then sponsors are like, okay, well, there's not a lot of rallying behind what's going on. So just get behind your women's football team and let them know that you guys are here for us and just like what we do, you know. I understand you guys can't always make the games, but at least like us on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's really valid from a marketing you know, point of view, and I think that that's really critical. And
right.
I know you mentioned that you guys are having your tryouts, but where do the ladies who are interested in your area that want to try out, where do they go? What time are your tryouts? How long will they last? You know, what kind of information do they need so that way? This is your platform. Make it happen.
Right, exactly. Well, the thing about it is they can email me, they can Facebook me, and all that good stuff. Ventura Black Widows Football at gmail.com. They can Facebook me, Twitter, and they can provide all the information that they would need for that point. My trials generally last for 3 hours, which it is conditioning for everyone involved. Some of my older vets may come and stop by, kind of see what's going on, which they are welcome to do, kind of check out the new players, potential players, and kind of just go from there.
Eric, do you have any questions for Ahmad?
Yeah, just got one quick question for you, just for any case any future players might be listening. I know during the season, football in general is definitely a commitment. What would you say that the time commitment would be for someone that wants to come out and play for you guys?
Starting from the beginning, I'd say at least 7 months.
What would you say, like on a daily or weekly basis?
Daily or weekly basis. Let me see. We have a practice during the week, a practice on the weekend, and every other Sunday. And they definitely want to go through their playbook, maybe some kind of cardio work, even if it's fast walking. I mean, it's just a lot of hours that they would have to put in just to keep themselves going.
Right, right. So safe to say easily probably 4 or 5 hours a week of just, practice, working out, going over plays, things like that. Would you agree?
Yes, at least. Yes, at least. That's a huge commitment.
I'm curious about what you guys have a Twitter handle?
Yes.
What's your Twitter handle? Just so, anybody that wants to contact you regarding sponsorship, support, and any women interested, where can we find you?
Okay, Twitter is capital VTA, all caps VTA. _ capital B, Black Widow. So Twitter is capital V, capital T, capital A, _ capital B, Black Widows. That's our Twitter handle.
Okay. And then search Ventura Black Widows on Facebook, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you guys have a website?
Not at the moment. We're working on that to get it up, because what happened after we didn't go early in the year, I let it go, and my web guy and I'll be kind of going over some things. It needs to be updated. So we're just planning what we need to update or what I need to update. And instead of launching it, then updating, we're going to launch it with the update.
I write for a site, gridirongirl.org, and I hear you on the website stuff. That is some all-inclusive, intensive stuff. It can get pretty hard to manage. So websites can be a pain. So I feel you there.
Yes. I appreciate it. At least someone understands me.
There's sometimes where it's like internet, just I gotta walk away from it because I'm like, you stupid internet.
you become a slave to it.
Yes, definitely. Well, Ahmad, we have appreciated you coming on and making the time. This has been so awesome and fun. Do you guys have any other questions for Ahmad?
We pretty much covered all the questions I had, so.
Okay.
Actually, I do. Ahmad, would you give us your Twitter handle one more time so that way that we can follow you on Twitter as well as our fans?
Sure. Twitter is, again, is capital V. As in Ventura, capital T, as in Tornado, capital A, as in Ahmad, _ capital B, as in Black, and then Black Widows. So VTA _ Black Widows.
Great. Well, is there anything else you'd like to let us know, Ahmad, or any, shout-outs, anything you'd like the listeners to know?
Shout out to the Ventura Black Widows, past and present, current members, staff, whoever came through the team, organization, just supply support for the years, because it's a whole effort. It's a community effort. And also to the fans and sponsors, just everyone involved. It's a lot of work. And thank you guys for having us, because the more we get out there, the more we're able to spread what we're doing, and the people who may miss us or may not know about us. We're just getting the word on. I very much appreciate you guys for having me on, and I very much appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you supporting our project and, bringing awareness to Women's Gridiron, because like you said earlier, the more people that know about it and understand what these women do and the passion and love they have for the game, and they're not getting paid for it, and just, you
right.
know, the more people we can reach, the more, you know, build up the sport. So we really appreciate you making the time for us.
No problem. Appreciate your time, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ahmad.
Thank you, and enjoy the rest
Thanks,
of your Sunday, Ahmad.
Thank you, guys. You guys do the same.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, bye.
All right, well, thanks. We'll say thank you to Ahmad one more time. It was Ahmad Newton, the owner of the Ventura Black Widows and the IWFL. Got a lot of static on the line. Or, did you guys hear that, or is that
trouble?
Just me?
What? No, it's there.
Okay.
You do
right,
okay,
well, we'll move on to.
No, but I'm good.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't
Maybe
know where that's from.
Yeah, I don't either. All right, cool.
Okay.
Well, we'll keep it moving. We'll move on to college football with our next guest. We have somebody very special, but we'll go into our second huddle of the evening, sponsored by Zazzle.com. Once again, that is Zazzle.com. So we are joined tonight by another talented individual, national champion. Let's see. I mean, we're talking University of Florida. We're talking national championships. We got, you know, just talent all the way around. Mr. Ryan Williams, are you there?
I am here. How are you guys?
Doing good. How are
good,
you?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on with us tonight. We're trying to get some college football in here for our college football fans. So who better to discuss that with than yourself? Like I said, national champion, former Florida Gator. Also, let's see, we've got a myriad of things here. We've got, where did I put that here? Let's see. Okay, 81 receiving yards against the Volunteers. Looking at the records as a true freshman. In his first game, he caught two passes for 38 yards, including 29-yard TD pass against San Jose State University. Like I said, 81 receiving yards against the Volunteers, two TDs against Mississippi State, ranked 10th in the SEC in receiving yards, so obviously one of the top receivers in SEC history. So, obviously, last night we had the Heisman Trophy presentation. You know, we've got all sorts of things going on with the playoffs and the championships. So we'll jump into that. First of all, we'll put Ryan on the hot seat here. Do you agree with the playoff teams that have been selected, or did you have other teams that you would have liked to have seen in there?
I mean, you know, the BCS, you can't please everybody. That's what we say. I feel that they should have had a eight-team playoff system instead of that, because, I mean, Florida State, I mean, you got them at number four. Even though I hate Florida State, you got them at number four. But, I mean, they're basically there to win games, and that's what those guys do. At the end of the day, they're putting W's on the board, and they're not number one. And coming off of 28 straight victories, I feel like they should have been number one.
Same Florida State. Hello?
Oh, where?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, we lost you there for a second. So you're saying you think Florida State should have been number one?
I think Florida State should have been number one. I mean, first of all, that team is basically have not lost a game and God knows when. And I feel like, you know, I feel like they could be playing better. I feel like the reason why they dropped to number four is because, I mean, you basically have the same team that you had from the national championship. And for you to not, you know, blow out teams or teams are sticking with you, I feel like that's why they dropped down to number four.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, are you a big believer in style points or do you think the record itself should tell the story?
I think the record itself should tell the story. I mean, until you've been beaten, I mean, you're basically still a champ. So, I mean, they haven't been beaten, and, you know, they're still on a roll. But I really think that, you know, I really think they're going to lose this one.
Oh, you
think they're
going
to lose it? Is that what you said?
I'm sorry?
Did you say you think they're going to lose it?
Yeah, they're going to lose it.
I'm with you there. I think Oregon's going to handle them quite well.
Yeah, they're definitely going to lose.
Yeah,
I mean, if they play the same way that they've been playing this whole season, where you're letting teams stick with you, you know, at halftime you're either down or you're at a tie. I mean, there's no way it's going to work.
Yeah, and their defense doesn't look like it's equipped to handle Mariota the way it should. I mean, that guy is, I mean, he's a beast, the way he can throw and run and the way he is, and I just, their defense, I mean, if they play Oregon the way they did Boston College, there's no way. There's no way they'll win.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree 100%.
Well, plus, you look at the fact that Oregon scores about 46 points a game as compared to
mm-hmm.
Florida State's about 35 points a game. So, if in my opinion, if Florida State gets off to their usual slow start, it's going to be a long game.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's going to be a long game. But at the same time, I mean, the quarterback for Oregon, you know, congratulations to him. But he has to make sure that he doesn't come in, you know, with the Heisman big head and just keep playing ball like he has been all season.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it seems as of right now, at least, he seems like he's a pretty humble guy, so I don't think that will happen, but, you know, just being on that national stage, I mean, you never know. Sometimes guys are able to be themselves. Sometimes they just, you know, completely flip the script and just lose it. So,
yeah.
So we'll see what
happens. And on that national stage, I mean, it's just not, you know, you got obstacles coming from everywhere. You got a lot of calls from family members wanting tickets. You know, you got your cousins, friends, brother calling for tickets. And, you know, you just have to shut all that down and, you know, just focus on football.
Mm-hmm. Well,
exactly.
See, that was going to be my question. Hi, Ryan. This is Keishi. That was going to be my question for you was, you know, when Eric talked about the national stage and how does that impact your game? And then you just said, you know, you have to shut it down and just focus on football. But then if you're talking about a national stage when everything is on the line, but at the same time, now there's a lot more media hype and attention, and you have to do this interview and that interview, and not just your family and your friends, but how do you continue on that path? Because everything I've heard about football players is they have to have order and routine. So what do you do when your order and routine is totally upset and thrown off, you know, by being on that national stage? What do the players have to do to keep that consistency?
Well, first of all, I think the first thing you really got to do is prepare like you've been preparing all season. I mean, really don't try to change too much, but, I mean, the small things might change. But, like I said, you just have to basically just focus on, you know, what you got to do, you and your teammates, and focus on the game plan at hand. I mean, like I said, I had to cut my phone off. I had to shut my phone down because I was getting so many calls from family members wanting tickets and this. I already had my mom situate that out because, I mean, I couldn't handle all the stress. And with me trying to focus on the game. So, I mean, you just have to just shut it down.
Good advice. So I'm curious, Ryan, with you being a receiver, I hear a lot about, well, I mean, I'm a Patriots fan. So I pay attention, obviously, to they talk about Brady building up chemistry with his receivers and being able to kind of have that relationship so that you can connect on the field. What have you found in your experiences that how do you build up chemistry between the quarterback and the receiver?
I mean, you know, you just got to, you know, basically spend a lot of time on and off the field. You know, get that chemistry built up. You know, go out to dinner, go out to lunch, talk about the game plan, you know, when you're not at practice. On your free time, get with your quarterback and throw the ball and go over some game tapes from previous years. So, I mean, basically that's how you would go ahead and build that good chemistry between the receivers and the quarterback.
Okay. So just get to know each other basically is kind of the key there.
But right. What do you do, Ryan, when you have a quarterback controversy? Like, you know, I'm here in the D.C. area, and I know that you know that, you know, right now it literally seems to be we've had all three quarterbacks play this season. I mean, we started with RG3, who went down, like, in the first, almost the second play of the game, in the first quarter anyway. And then we went to Cousins, and then we went to Colt McCoy, and then RG3 played again today. So for yourself as a receiver, how do you build up chemistry when you have that kind of inconsistency?
I mean, basically, like I said, everybody has to get on the same page. I mean, who would know about quarterback controversy better than I will, when we had Tim Tebow and Chris Leak, you know, splitting time together at the University of Florida. So, I mean, what it was important that, you know, both of those guys, you know, got together with us, and, you know, basically we just went over the same, we just had to make sure that we were on the same game plan with both quarterbacks.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. I know Chris Leak and Tim Tebow were sharing time. What kind of dynamic did that create within the locker room and with the team? I mean, was it split, or was everybody on board with it, or what was your feeling on that?
I mean, everybody was on board with it. I mean, you know, my senior was 06, so, you know, Tim was a freshman, so, you know, it was actually Chris's team. So, you know, Tebow didn't try to come in there, you know, and take over the locker room. You know, he let Chris, you know, handle the locker room like he was previously before he got there. And, you know, Tebow just basically gave us that extra boost of confidence. You know, he was a guy that was always, you know, intense and always into the game. So in the locker room, you know, when it was time to go out, Tim was the one that gave us that confidence and that boost to get us going.
I remember a lot of those games.
Okay.
Go ahead, Erica.
Oh, no, I was just curious. Obviously, you'd have to live under a rock to, you know, be unaware of the Tebow mania that happened when
yes.
he came into the league. Were you surprised at all by that, you know, having played with them? And I'm just curious as to, you know, how that I guess kind of from somebody that knew him and played with him in college, kind of how the media painted him and what you thought about all that.
Oh, man, playing with Timmy was a different experience. I mean, basically, we go on the road. I felt like we were the Beatles. It was just a great experience, you know. With that guy, I mean, it was media everywhere. I mean, we couldn't even go out to eat on a Sunday night without media being outside of the restaurant or outside of the dormitories. It was always Tim Tebow, so... I mean, it was very interesting but fun at the same time.
Did he handle that attention pretty okay? Was he pretty poised under, would you say?
Oh, he's a very humble guy. He handled it very well. You know, he never, you know, thought he was better than the next person. You know, he treated everybody the same. And, you know, he just kept a level head.
That's good to hear.
Awesome.
Now, is having a quarterback keep their level head? I'm sorry, this is Keisha again. Having a quarterback keep a level head, since we're going back to quarterbacks, and all of the controversy that's happening with Florida State and with Jameis Winston, how does the team block that kind of noise out in order to continue to function and produce, especially because this is a different system? I mean, like the system you played under with the BCS, and now they have this playoff system. How does a team manage that level of controversy and keep that from impacting them and their game as they get ready to move on in this new system?
Well, I feel like, you know, with everything that's going on with Jameis Winston and at Florida State, I mean, I feel that, you know, the players are doing an awesome job, you know, with the not responding to the media, not answering the questions. You know, I just feel like Jameis Winston himself, you know, as being a veteran and a leader of the team, I feel like he should start thinking more about the team and not just about himself.
And is that the quarterback's role? You know, and that's the quarterback. I said, and that's the quarterback's role, right, is to be that leader and to provide that stability, correct?
Yes, that's correct. The quarterback, everything goes through the quarterback. That is the man of the team. And I just feel like, you know, if I was on that Florida State, you know, team, I would actually have to pull, you know, I would pull Jameis Winston to the side, you know, just have a chat with him. I mean, I overheard Charlie Ward trying to get in contact with him and, you know, trying to, you know, just get in his head to see where he was at. And he didn't want to talk to Charlie Ward.
Wow.
Well, to that point, I wonder if he even knows really who Charlie Ward was and what he did while he was at the university, because I know a lot of young kids today, they really don't care about what happened in the past. All they care about is what's going on in their world. So I just wonder if if he really understands or understood what Charlie Ward meant to Florida State. So, but
I'm quite sure that he hears too. I know he's quite sure he knows who Charlie Ward is. I mean, you're at basically one of the greatest universities, you know, in the state of Florida. And, you know, for you not to know who Charlie Ward is and you're going to Florida State, I mean, that would be a problem.
No, I mean, as far as the impact that he had, you know, on that team and, you know, just everything that went on at that time as far as him, not even being drafted, but,
right.
You know, just the impact, also the way he carried himself. You know, he wasn't the one, you know, shoplifting and getting caught doing this.
Agreed.
And that. I mean, I know the media wasn't what it was then like it is now, but, you know, he just wasn't that guy. So I didn't know if...
Yeah, that's correct.
Right,
speaking
so,
of criminals, you played with Aaron Hernandez, right?
Oh, yes.
So being a Patriots fan, I have to ask, just because when he was on the Patriots, I loved Aaron Hernandez. Were you surprised at all by the issues going on with him?
I totally was surprised, because that's not the guy that I know from the University of Florida. I mean, the guy that I knew was fun, outgoing, you know, always upbeat. And I see none of those signs, you know, they talk about he was in a gang. I knew nothing of that. So, I mean, it really came, he caught me from left. He came out of left field on me. So, I mean, I was pretty surprised when all those allegations came out.
Okay. I was just curious, because I obviously heard the same things, that he had a history of violence, you know, just all the things that were in the media. And I just, you know, being a Patriots fan, had to ask you.
Right.
Well, I have a question. Since you, this is Keisha again. Since you mentioned, you know, Winston and not, you know, taking the call from Charlie Ward and understanding and knowing the history, and Eric brought up a really good point in terms of a lot of players of today and not knowing, you know, who set the tone and, you know, who has set the pace. And I know I'm an alumni of Mississippi Valley State University, and I can tell you that there is no place that you can go on Valley's campus and you don't know who Jerry Rice is. I mean, that's just like, it's so impossible, to the point that our stadium is actually now named after him, and it's called the Rice-Totten Stadium. So there is no place on campus that you can go and not know that Jerry Rice went to Valley. You cannot know that Deacon Jones is an alumni of Mississippi Valley State University. And I'm really surprised about, you know, the thought of today's younger players not connecting. So, Ronnie, who are some of your influences then, as when you were a football player, at Florida?
Well, you know, first of all, my brother, Warren Sapp, my godbrother, he was there. Another guy, Alvin Harper. Those guys is someone I can always call for advice and always look up to. So those are the two main guys that, you know, were my influences.
I was going to ask you, I know it's mentioned on your Twitter page, you consider, Warren Sapp to be a brother. How did that relationship develop?
It developed back in 95. I was hanging around at the Bucks facility at one Buck place with actually Alvin Harper. And what happened, Alvin had got traded to the Washington Redskins, and him and Warren are very tight friends. They're still actually good friends today. When he got traded to the Redskins, you know, he told, you know, Warren to look out for me. And Warren made a promise to him that he would always look out for me. He kept his promise. So, you know, that's pretty much how the relationship started.
Okay. Were the Bucks looking at, you know, picking you up, or how did you end up there?
No, I mean, what it was is I played all the way through since I was 7 years old, all the way to college, and my body just, you know, couldn't take the beat up that I was receiving. So, you know, after, you know, broken jaws and, you know, I had to have surgery on my hand from a bone coming out of my hand. And, you know, I just gave it up. Yeah. Plus, I got a son, 14, Jaden. He's in the football now. So I kind of focus on him. You know, I got a little one coming up. He's 1 year old, Ryan. So I know he's going to be ready, you know, to play football as well. So I just kind of focus on those guys.
What position does your son play?
He's a running back.
Running back?
He's a running back.
Yeah. Very cool. I bet it's really neat for him to have, you know, an example like you to look up to with, you know, that you can be that figure in his life that shows him the dedication and how that hard work pays off. You know, not all kids, I mean, their dads can be there for them while they're playing, but you kind of have that extra little factor where you can really show them, you know, that national championship ring and say, this is what hard work gets you. So I bet that's really neat for him.
Right. I mean, yeah, he definitely, you know, loves that his dad used to play for the University of Florida. You know, he even says that that's where he wants to go. So we'll see what happens in a few years. I mean, last year he was saying he wanted to go to Florida State. I say, why? Because they won the national championship. So we'll see how that goes.
Are there any colleges that are off limits in your house as to where your boys can't attend?
No, I mean, you know, I'll let them attend anywhere that they want to go. They choose to go. You know, it's no pressure on them. So I'll just let them go wherever they choose to.
Nice.
Okay, so do you have a favorite for the upcoming games, Ryan? For the championship game?
I think it's going to be Oregon and, if I'm not mistaken, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The national championship.
Oregon and Alabama for the championship.
Yes.
That's exactly what I'm thinking or hoping. But just look at, go back and look at the games, look at the numbers. I mean, it just seems like it can't be any other way.
Yeah.
So what about Ohio State? Okay, I'm going to have to throw that in because there's a couple people on the TL who are not like me if I don't say something about Ohio State. But in all honesty, what do you think about their chances? I mean, they have also gone to several national championships as well as Alabama. Is there a realistic possibility that they could end up there after all?
I mean, it's a realistic possibility. I mean, at the same time, you got to think about, you know, that guy that coaches Ohio State was a guy that took us to the national championship in Urban Meyer. So at the same time, you know,
that's why I was asking.
Right. So I really can't count those out, but I think Ohio State is not going to be ready. I mean they lost their quarterback for the season, their starting quarterback, so I don't think they're going to be ready, you know, to face a challenge without their main man.
Mm-hmm. That's a valid point.
And actually, guys, we have a caller holding on the line, so calling from Florida, so we'll see who this is here real quick. Once again, this is the Blitz, and who do we have on the line here?
We got Joe Robinson, man, from West Tampa calling in. And I was
hey, Joe.
Listening to Ryan Williams, an all-time great Florida Gator, man. I've been listening to your conversation since 8-11, and he knows his football. He's a great family man. He also likes to come to Foster's Barbershop and give us all the local picks and let us know what's going on.
I do.
and he really loves football. He's a great guy. I mean, and Sam really loves him to death. But I just wanted to ask him a question if I can. Ryan, I know you've been at Florida. We done heard about the coach. They had to pay him, $7 million to leave. What do you think about this new coach? And do you think he can get the Gators being back like the Gators used to be, man? You know, my daughter got a mouth from the Gators, so I don't hit them too bad. Although I was a Big Ten and Iowa. I still think Ohio State still might kick it out. But anyway, but I'd just like to hear, what is your comment on this new coach, and what do you think he's going to do different than Muschamp did to turn that thing around at the Gators, man?
Oh, hey, good thank you for calling in, Mr. Iowa Buckeye.
No, Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. I'm sorry, Hawkeye. What I think is the new coach, I mean, I feel like the new coach, I mean, basically you came from what I call a cupcake conference. I feel like in the SEC, you know, you have to be a proven coach. I mean, I'm not going to knock the coach, I mean, because he has turned around Colorado State. But at the same time, I feel like we should have went after some old Gators like a Dan Mullen or a Charlie Strong or someone like that. But at the same time, I can't knock him, so I mean, I really don't know.
Okay. Okay. But I think Florida, you know, they really did a good search. So there's got to be something else for them to let the coach go pay him $7 million to leave and bring in a new guy. But I really think he might be a really good guy. But I'm going to get off of here, man. And, you know, I'm calling from Florida. I'm supporting Ryan Williams, one of all-time great at the University of Florida Gators, man. So I'm going to get off here. And, you know, we hollering at you from Foster Barbershop on Main Street in West Tampa, man. Keep
hey,
up the good
I'll
talk,
Ryan. I'll see y'all Friday. Y'all have the Clippers ready for me.
I hear you, man. All right, man. Bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, that was funny. All right, and just I'm going to have to wrap it up here real quick here, but just wanted to kind of get your take real quick on what's happening in the NFL as far as the whole Ray Rice situation, Adrian Peterson. You know, just some, you know, couple of thoughts or you know, things or ideas that you have on that real quick.
I feel like he should have sat out the whole season. I don't feel like he should have been reinstated. I mean, for what he did, there is no words that a woman could possibly say to make you that upset where you basically knock her out. So, I mean, everybody has their different opinions and takes on it, but I feel that he shouldn't be playing for the rest of the season.
You're saying Ray Rice?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a lot of people's feelings, especially when that video came out. Before that came out, it's kind of like almost like the old way of doing things where, you know, kind of like a slap on the wrist, don't do it again. But when that video came out, that's when things went crazy. So, and what about Adrian Peterson? It seems like he's kind of taken a fall for Roger Goodell's mistake in handling the Ray Rice situation as far as him, you know, not being able to come back until April. And do you kind of feel the same way, or what do you think on that?
I think that the league is handling that situation, you know, quite well. I mean, I feel like I agree with what you said about he taking a fall for the Roger Goodell mistake, but at the same time, I don't think he should be, you know, allowed to play the rest of the season either, which, you know, he's actually not. I think that basically, you know, I feel like they should have him go to some type of parenting classes, and he should complete, you know, community service and also basically just, you know, just go to those classes, man, those anger management classes.
Right. From what I hear, he was going, but, you know, I don't know if that's still the case or not. But, yeah, I definitely agree. He does need to do something at least to, you know, show that he's taking some steps to get himself turned around.
Right.
But, anyway, we just want to thank you for spending the time with us. We definitely appreciate you giving us a call and giving us your thoughts on everything football. Why don't you let the listeners know, you know, where to contact you or where they can communicate with you?
On Twitter, you can find me at Ryan Will, WILL15 at Twitter. And on Instagram, it's Ryan Will 15. And also, I'd like to say hi to my three men listening, my son Rylan, Jaden, and Peyton.
Cool. We'll say hi, too. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hey.
All right. Well thanks
Ryan,
again, man.
Thanks
we definitely,
again for coming.
Definitely appreciate it.
Well, guys, thank you for having me. I had so much fun, and I hope everybody had the popcorn ready plus some extras. And I'll be listening to you guys.
Well, thank you for supporting the show.
No problem. Anytime.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, have a good one, guys. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. All right. We definitely want to thank Ryan once again for spending time with us. We definitely appreciate it. And getting his thoughts on college football and everything football. So we definitely appreciate it. So moving on to NFL news. I know there's a lot of crazy stuff that's happening. I know, Keisha, weren't you earlier talking about a brawl, or was that Erica?
No, that was Erica.
That was me.
But I'm already watching the game because you all know I am Miss Ride or Die Dallas Cowboys fan. Yes, I live here in the D.C. area, but I bleed the blue and the silver. And can I just say that my Cowboys are already up 7-0 because the Eagles fumbled on the punt and the Cowboys recovered in the red zone. Oh, looks like there's about to be a skirmish. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get that excited that fast.
Well, yeah, the Jets and the Titans, there was a brawl that erupted on the field after a Titans player punched Geno Smith in the face. Well, he tried to his helmet was on, so, yeah. And then all the players started fighting, so.
They cleared the benches?
It was interesting.
So it was more like a hockey match then than a football game?
Yeah, kind of. For a while there, players' helmets were coming off. It was quite the event, yes. And the Jets ended up winning by 5 points. So
it was almost like going back to last week with the Panthers and the Saints. Was it that good?
Yeah. I liked it better because it was the Jets, but I don't know. I mean, being the Jets can't be anyway is good with me, so.
Yeah. Well, also we had some teams clinch this week. We had the Broncos clinch, the Colts, I think the Patriots, right?
Woo-woo, yep. I mean, it's hard to brag about clinching the AFC East just because it's a pretty pathetic division as far as divisions go. So, I mean, it was more competitive this year than it has been in recent years. I mean, as far as the records go, I mean, I think Buffalo and the Dolphins, they at least had 7 wins, I think. But, you know, I don't brag too much about the AFC East only because it's not like it's a real competitive division. But it's still one step closer to us, you know, getting that first seed.
Which is why this game tonight is so critical for my Cowboys, because, you know, the between the Eagles and then the Redskins, the last game of the season, you know, it's always still continually coming down to our divisional opponents to impact our playoff chances. So, okay, yay, we got the 8-8 monkey off our back, but if we don't go to the playoffs, it's still not going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think the Cowboys still may make the playoffs, but the question is, can they get over that hump? Because it's been a long time since they have gotten past that first playoff game. So
I'll be happy just to get there. No, I'll be happy for us just to get there at this point. And the Bears won, I heard.
No, they play tomorrow.
Oh.
Play the Saints. Well,
you didn't have to go there. You didn't have to go there, Keisha.
No, I promise. I want the Bears to actually end the season on a high note. And let me tell you why. Because I'm a history nerd, and this is one of the most storied franchises in the league. I mean, the history and the players and Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus and Brian Piccolo. I mean, my dad and I just sat down together last weekend to watch NFL Players of Football Life about, you know, Butkus and Sayers. I mean, one of the first stories that I ever read, you know, that just drew me in was Brian's song. So I actually have a very nice emotional connection to the Bears. When I was in college, I was a cheerleader at Valley, and we played Grambling State in Soldiers Field. How awesome is that to say I got to cheer on Soldiers Field? So I have nothing but love for your team, and I actually hate when great teams are just falling apart. It takes something away from the game. So in all honesty, I really, really need the Bears to end on a high note.
Nice save. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's the franchise that started it all. You know, if it wasn't for them, you know, we sitting there talking about something else. But yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's one of the most frustrating things in sports, because you look at the Bears, they're in the number three media market in the world, really, and it seems like they can never put something together to win a championship. Now, they, for some reason, you know, when they first started, yeah, they won a bunch of championships, you know, before it was called the Super Bowl. But it seems like after that, it's, you know, one Super Bowl and went to another one in how many years? I mean, it's, I don't know what it is. I mean, I think the owners are more concerned about business than they are about winning championships. I think that's part of it. But, yeah, just being from Chicago, I mean, it's just, that's one of the most frustrating things, you know, in sports that I can think of.
Yeah, since I've really been, it seems like the Bears can't ever get, like, their whole team to be kind of a cohesive unit. Like, it seems like they've got this really great defense. You know, like when Urlacher was there, that defense was phenomenal. But their offense was kind of so-so, so their defense was really having to carry the team. And, you know, it just seems like they never have a really balanced team, and it seems like that's one of the huge issues that the Bears are dealing with right now. You know, that they've got kind of this anemic offense where it's weird because they have the pieces. I mean, Forte is amazing. So it seems like they should be winning games, but they aren't. There's some disconnect there that is not, it's not translating on the field.
Yeah.
Well, this
terrible.
Year for sure, it's definitely the defense. And it's a lack of talent. I mean, I know it's weird to say when you're talking about an NFL team, but, I mean, if you look at the teams they play and how they play, I mean, there's just no comparison between the Bears' defense and the other team's offense. The pro game is all about matchups. And, you know, other teams' receivers, you know, they dominate the corners, or, you know, the safeties. The linebackers have had, you know, 7-8 different combinations, so there's no cohesiveness there. So I really think they need to take a hard look at the talent on their roster, and also, you know, the scouting department. You know, what kind of, you know, are they actually able to evaluate real talent, or do they just get sucked in by somebody that can run a sub 4.5 40, or somebody that can jump real high, or, you know, so I think they need to take a real hard look at things, you know, moving forward into the 2015 season.
I agree. The Bears defense isn't the old Bears defense. You know, it's kind of sad to see that this, you know, I mean, the Bears defense was it. I mean, they were known for their defense. I mean, I had them in fantasy, I don't know, it was when Urlacher was still playing for them. I took their defense in my fantasy, and it was crazy how good they were. And they're just not there anymore. And, you know, they need to get back to that and build that, you know, phenomenal defense back up.
Well, I think that's true of so many teams. I think some of the great franchises have lost that identity that makes them great. I mean, I would have to say the same thing with the Steelers. I mean, Steel Curtain. I can't really say that that's a Steel Curtain anymore, you know, because somewhere along the way they forgot that that's who they were. And I think when teams lose their identity, that's a huge factor in terms of what makes them great.
Yep. I mean, it happens. I mean, that's kind of the evolution. Okay, Eric.
Yeah. That's okay. I was just going to say, over the time, though, I think the Steelers have gotten more offensive-minded to, you know, try to stay on level with the rest of the NFL. But, Mike Tomlin did admit that this is more of a rebuilding year for them, even though they do have a winning record. But, you know, he's on record as saying this is more of a rebuilding year, and you know, we'll see where they go from here. Pretty much everyone has had to get a little bit more offensive minded if they want to keep up.
Well, because we turned into such a pass happy league. I mean, it's really and truly quarterback friendly, because people want to see the 50-yard receptions, and then, you know, and then the yards after the catch, and I mean, that's, you know, where we are. I mean, the whole Breeze hype, and, you know, was he going to pass Marino's record? And that is where we are. But I'm not going to lie, and as much as I love great offense, there's something in me that loves to see a great hit. And I know I want the players to be safe because I have a son, and I do. I want them to be safe. But at the same time, I miss that old-fashioned just ground and pound, and I miss equity on both sides of the field. And I just think
right.
that there's this, I understand we're trying to protect him. God knows, like I said, I have a son, and if he ever wanted to go pro, I want him to be safe. However, at the same time, we have to be fair to players on both sides. Otherwise, then you devalue the skill set. Because right now we were talking, I think, 2 weeks ago about running backs and how they're just not being utilized because we're so pass happy. So, I mean, yeah, we are really unbalanced, I think, as a sport right now.
Well, the defenders can barely even breathe without drawing a flag. I mean, you touch the receiver or really anything, and it's, I mean, they've cracked down, but sometimes it's inconsistent. But for the most part now, the defender's job, I would hate to be on the defense in the NFL right now because they make it very difficult for them to do their job because you can't, and like you said, because you want them to be safe, but at the same time, you have to be able to touch the quarterback. You have to be able to get pressure on these receivers. And those flags come out so fast, I feel bad for the defenders.
Yeah, there were some pretty tough penalties that were called today during the 49ers-Seahawks game. I know at real speed it may look, you know, more severe than what it is, or it may look like a penalty, but I think maybe they can tweak something in the replay system where they can, you know, look at a play that they've flagged, you know, just, you know, real quick, not where they have to, you know, have like a 2-minute huddle about it, but, you know, be able to look at it again real quick and say, okay, yeah, that was for sure a penalty, or, you know, it was just a hard play. So,
yeah. Well, and
I mean, if they can,
you know, when you, oh, go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, when they call these, you know, PI, let's say they're calling PI and the quarterback threw it so far down the field, obviously, you know, PI is spot of the foul, and you take them down to the 5 and they score a touchdown, that could have decided the game. You know, you could have just then handed the win over. And now people are like, oh, penalties don't decide the game. But when they throw flags like that and you don't allow contact, that does decide the game because, like we've seen, it obviously only takes 3-7 points. It doesn't take, you know, and it decides the game. And so sometimes it can be really frustrating when they're calling things, when they're so sensitive to things, and it literally decides the game.
Exactly. And some coaches and play callers will rely on that. If they're in trouble, say they're, you know, behind their own 20, if they need to pick up some
mm-hmm.
big yardage, they'll throw it deep just to see what happens. And every
exactly.
now and then they'll get, you know, a 20, 30, 40-yard penalty.
Crazy.
All right, cool. Well, we will get it moving here so we can let Keisha get to her game and so she can root on her Cowboys. So, once again, we
mm-hmm.
just want to thank Mr.
Amon
Newton
I'm so
for...
focused. I can multitask.
That's okay. We'll let you turn up the sound so you can fully enjoy it.
No, this is actually probably better. That way I'm not screaming and yelling myself.
All right. Well, anyway, we want to thank Amon Newton for giving us a call today, the owner of the Ventura Black Widows in the IWFL. Also, we want to thank Mr. Ryan Williams for spending the time with us. As we said, national champion, Florida Gator. So we definitely want to give those guys a big thank you. Also, we want to thank Joe for calling in from the barbershop.
Hi, Joe.
We welcome visitors all the time. But that does it for another edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Don't forget to check out at Gridiron Girl on Twitter and gridirongirl.org for college football insights. Plus, you can follow Erica at PatsFangirl12 and in Kishi at Kishi's Cuties and myself at Fit for Life. That's life with a Y for more football tweets during the week. And also, you want to hurry up and visit the No Joke Football Project shop for great details on tees, hoodies, leggings this holiday season. enter our workout pick contest on Instagram as well to win some to win a free pair of leggings by December 20th. So you can use the hashtag GridironBeauties with your picture on Instagram. So make sure you get creative, make it fun, and we'll see who wins. Once again, you can catch me, Eric Brown, at Fit for Life. You can catch Kishi at Kishi's Cuties and Erica Lynn at Pat's Fangirl 12. And also you can catch Erica on at Cover 3 during the NFL season, plus her Are You Kidding rants on YouTube. So if you missed her last week, you definitely want to follow the timeline to get the link to her YouTube channel. Thanks once again to Ahmad Newton of the Ventura Black Widows, also the talented Ryan Williams, and our co-hosts. Mm-hmm. So for Kishi and Erica Lynn Anderson, this is Eric Brown. Once again, thanks for listening, and we will catch you all next week on The Blitz. So have a good week, everybody. We'll see you then.
Bye, everybody. Good night.